past few years. If this sounds like you, then you need to reach out to my friends Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance. They're insurance brokers. They work for you, not the insurance company. They're focused on finding you the Medicare plan that best fits your budget and health needs. There are huge changes coming during the upcoming Medicare enrollment period running through December 7th. There are more than 40 plans available with bigger benefits, more doctor networks, and more insurance carrier options. Let Steve and Amy Miller handle it for you. I've been a client of theirs for 3 years and give them my highest recommendation. Call Blue Sky Insurance today, 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. Or visit them online at blueskylv.com.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announces that there will be a statewide audit of the presidential race, which means a full by-hand recount of every vote.
With the margin being so close, it will require a full by-hand recount in each county. This will help build confidence. It will be an audit, a recount, and a re-canvass all at once.
Raffensperger said at a news conference today that his office wants the process to begin by the end of the week, and he expects it to take until November 20th. After results are certified, the losing campaign can then request another recount, which will be performed by machine. While that's going on, both of Georgia's Senate seats are up for grabs, with Republican incumbents Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue facing off against Democrats Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. At a Save Our Majority rally in Georgia, Republican Senator Marco Rubio says that the state's upcoming elections could determine which party controls the Senate.
This is literally, you know, the showdown of all showdowns in terms of politics and what it means. And we don't want to win one of them. We want to win both of them. We need to win both of them.
The GOP was also successful in Alaska, returning Dan Sullivan to office. And North Carolina's Tom Tillis defeated Cal Cunningham in that state's Senate race. Veterans Day was commemorated on this 102nd anniversary of the end of World War I. Courtesy of the National Press Club, former GOP presidential nominee Bob Dole, who was wounded in World War II, says Americans should stay positive and proud.
We are a great country. We're a great country because we have moral values and we have other values that keep us going and going.
On Wall Street, a mixed day as the Dow was down by 23 points, but the NASDAQ rose 232, the S&P advanced 27. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back? Take the 5-question gut check to see if it could be more than occasional constipation. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess is not a laxative. It works differently. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements.
Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor about whether Linzess is right for you. Go to Linzess.com to take the 5-question gut check. That's Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Hey, it's Pat Casal with the MultiCare Group. Open enrollment time is here. Anyone who needs individual or family coverage should give the MultiCare Group a call at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Lots of changes this year as we add 2 new carriers. In addition, we've extended open enrollment until January 15th. Whether you want to enroll with the Silver State Exchange or direct with a carrier, the MultiCare Group can help. All the plans we offer are qualified health plans. They'll provide you with free annual exams, telemedical exams, and the best networks in the valley. The MultiCare Group will tailor our plan to fit your family's budget. Our services are no cost to our clients. All you pay is the premiums the carriers charge. The best part of working with the MultiCare Group is not when you buy the insurance, it's when you need the insurance the most. We're going to be with you every step of the way to make sure you maximize your health plans. So call 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449 and set up an appointment today. It could be live over the phone or you can come and meet us in person. Thanks again. We'll hope to hear from you soon.
It's 4:04. This KMCQ Newsflash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Saying he wants to avoid being forced to take stronger action, Governor Sisolak is asking Nevadans to stay at home as much as possible over the next 2 weeks to slow the spread of COVID-19, which has seen some of the worst infection rates recently in the Silver State, calling his request Stay at Home 2.0. The governor said the only proven way to slow the spread of COVID-19 is to decrease mobility, and that means staying at home as much as possible. The two-week period ends just before Thanksgiving. The governor would not say what measures he might take should the Silver State's coronavirus positivity rate continue to rise. Meanwhile, North Las Vegas has announced it's closing City Hall to the public over the next 2 weeks. Nevada's Economic Forum is being told it could take at least a couple of years for the Silver State's economy to bounce back from the COVID-19 outbreak. Presentations were explaining what state officials already know. Tax revenues will take a major hit as the local and national economy slowly rebounds from the economic downturn caused by the virus. Last week, state agencies were told to slash their upcoming budgets 12%. The Economic Forum sets the projected state revenue governors and the governor and legislature use to create the budgets.
On-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Got a crash incident, U.S. 95 southbound. That is at the Sunset on-ramp, so be careful there. Also, congestion, Interstate 15 northbound at Cary. Slow flows 15 south at Lake Mead, and some heavy volumes there, 215 westbound at Valley Verde.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
This could be a big, big week in the lives of our kids, students, teachers, because this is when supposedly the Clark County School District is going to make a decision. We're going to try and make a decision on what to do, whether to get back to brick and mortar schooling, to do distance learning, or as they call it, the hybrid, which is a combination of both. John Velardita is plugged in because he's the executive director of the Clark County Education Association, better known as, well, the Teachers Union. And he joins us. John, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
What do you know? Where are we in this? This seems to be a very fluid situation. People have changed sides. I've talked to some teachers that really wanted to get back into a brick-and-mortar school, and now they say no way, that the kids, especially in the lower elementary grades, won't be able to function very well there. What can you tell us right now?
Well, it's complex, and there's not an easy solution. And I think what the trustees are going to be discussing and perhaps voting on Thursday at their board meeting is a plan to reopen with a potential timeline. And it doesn't matter what the plan is. Anything at this point under this coronavirus is controversial, and there's no easy path to find some kind of success. So I think you're going to see very passionate opinions, you know, centered around two things: safety, because this virus is lethal, And then the effectiveness of instruction. Will students learn, and will educators be able to teach?
Is there a difference when you talk to your members who teach in, say, high school versus those who teach second grade? I've talked to a number of first, second grade teachers that were at one point were really on board with getting back in school and all of that. And now they say with all the restrictions that they're going to be under in a brick and mortar school, that it doesn't make sense. You know, forget for a moment the safety factor of just the ability to teach these kids.
I think it's going to be challenging. There's no doubt about it. I think depending on the age group, there's a different aspect of the challenge. So when you have younger students coming in, you know, trying to maintain some kind of behavioral control around safety protocols is one thing. At the same time, in a high school, you have young adults, young individuals that, you know, may be inclined to do what they want to do. So I think it's going to be challenging no matter what the grade level is, and I think educators know that challenge. And I think what kind of is the X factor in all of this is to what extent is it safe to open up these schools with this virus that kind of escalating right now.
Do you have any feel for what the Board of Trustees is thinking of what their rationale is right now? I mean, even if after last night's announcement by the governor that we're on kind of 2-week notice, that we better shape up or ship out, so to speak, from the governor. Do you notice that? I mean,
so I think. Look, I think that there are a number of trustees that want to do the right thing. And as long as they're focused on the facts and as long as they're focused on the objective, they're going to try to make the right decision. I think there's a small faction on that board that's very dysfunctional. They're engaged in kind of infighting all the time, and they look for any reason to pick a fight, particularly with the superintendent. But I think that this is a issue that everybody takes serious, and they're going to weigh in on it, and they're supposed to govern right now. They're not supposed to be politicians. They're supposed to be governing.
Jesus Jara, his role in all of this, what do you make of it? How has he performed just in the last couple of months? I know his job was up for grabs for a while, but did you get a sense of how he's performed in these extraordinary times?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has to understand that what's happening here is no different than happening in all the major, particularly large urban school districts. We've been following the top 8. And all of them are facing the same thing that we're facing now. Do you open? And if you do, under what conditions? And what's the instructional model? And is it successful? Do you need this? Do you need that? And the role of a superintendent under those circumstances is to help lead, to present a plan, you know, to implement that plan. And the role of the governing body, whether it's the trustees in this case or in another school district, they have to adopt that. They have to listen to their chief executive officer, which is called the superintendent, and they have to either agree or not agree or modify. But in any event, I think that this superintendent has been given a task that every large school district in this country has been given, and there's nothing flattering about it. There's no experience out there that shows you a path to success under this pandemic virus. This is a once-in-a-century thing that we're going through. So, you know, I don't think anything that a superintendent proposes right now is not going to be free from some kind of criticism from somebody.
Do we need a one-size-fits-all solution to this problem, or do we need an elementary, a lower elementary solution, a high school solution, a middle school solution? Does this need to be a mixed bag, or should it be everybody gets treated the same way?
That's a good question. I think there's got to be some continuity, first off. So in that sense, there has to be some kind of standard that's applied district-wide for all students in all buildings. But at the same time, I think there's got to be some flexibility depending on the student population, depending on their particular needs. And depending on the team that's at the school, and that's the staff, it's educators, it's the principal, support staff, et cetera. But I think you have to have some kind of consistency, because you got to make sure that if somebody's learning how to read in one elementary in North Las Vegas, it's at the same level with the same curriculum and the same standard that a student in third grade in Henderson or Summerlin is learning as well. So I think people got to keep that in mind.
Again, John Valardita joining us, Executive Director of the Clark County Education Association, better known as the Teachers Union. Really, the bottom line question is, are kids learning in this environment, in this distance learning environment?
You know, Kevin, that is a great question. I think it's got mixed results. I think you will find that there are students that are doing quite well, that they're more adept to this distance learning. They're more adept to getting online and to do things remotely. They have an environment at home that might be more supportive or have more resources for them to do that. I think on the other end of the spectrum, I think it's very challenging. You know, we had 100,000 students when the school year started that didn't have devices, let alone access to connectivity to be able to do distance learning to begin with. And I think, we have, well over 50% of our student population are, economically not in the best situation. There's a lot of them that are on free and reduced lunch, so that, you know, in their household, there might be a lot of stress that's going on, parents out of work, et cetera. And so there may not be a support system in that home for them. So I think it's mixed results. I think you'll find some that are doing okay, and I think you'll find that some that are being challenged, and then I think, unfortunately, you'll find some that are left behind.
Those 100,000 kids that didn't have either Wi-Fi or laptops or tablets or whatever, has that problem been solved totally?
Well, I think there was an effort in the private sector to partner with the school district to raise funds as well as, to acquire devices, computers, laptops, whatnot, and then provide access to connectivity. But it wasn't a light switch, Kevin, where all of a sudden, you know, on September 1, we found that solution for that 100,000 students. It took place over the school year. So we still have, probably a couple of thousand kids that still don't have access. And so I think there's been a good faith effort, and I think there's been progress made, but I still think that there's going to be an effect, a negative effect on that for those kids that started the year without any kind of device and are still struggling to get it.
When will we have our first indicator? When is the next standardized testing where we can get a snapshot of whether our kids really are learning in this environment? I mean, hey, it may turn out, John, that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread for education, the idea of online learning and kids pick up on it and it's easy. Where do we find the milepost, if you will, for whether our kids are learning or not?
Well, I think, let me answer it this way. We're fast approaching the end of this first semester, right? And there's grades that are being issued to students, or will be. And so those students and those parents will get a sense of how they have performed, how they have succeeded or not through this distance learning model and through these grades. And these grades are done through the assessment of teachers and in some cases with their principals. And I think that's going to be the first indication to get a sense as to how a student is doing. And I would say to your audience, particularly to all those parents out there, do not be surprised when you see some of the results of these grades. And I would urge them and encourage them to have a conversation with their teacher or the teachers of their students to learn more what the challenges are or what the elements of success has been for them to perform under this model.
Circling back to Thursday's meeting, where will the teachers' union be on this issue of reopening, whether hybrid or not hybrid?
Okay, so I'm glad you asked me that. We're in the middle of negotiations with the school district. You know, there's lots of things about the plan that they rolled out that obviously we have questions about, but we're centering right now on two main issues. First is that the plan has to have that doesn't necessarily have. The first one is safety, particularly more so with the rise of the virus transmission in the community. So there's got to be a mandatory safety program that's very robust and has testing for COVID, screening for COVID, contact tracing if somebody does test positive. We have to have all the protective personal equipment in these buildings, not just masks, other things. There's got to be sanitation systems set up to clean, you know, buildings, hallways, buses, whatnot, ventilation system, because this is an airborne pathogen, this virus is. So some of these schools are very, very old, and these ventilation systems have to be in place. And that applies to everybody that has to be part of the safety program, not just educators, but all staff and students as well. When we see what's going on in other school districts, particularly large urban school districts, they've all adopted that kind of approach, having that kind of safety program. And right now the plan has aspects of a safety program, but not at the level that we are asking for. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we want our educators to have the choice to continue distance learning or to be back in that classroom. And the reason I say that is because there are a number of people that would be, you know, categorized that have high health risk factors that should not be exposed to the COVID-19. And the district just took a survey of parents and asked parents how many of them wanted their students to remain on distance learning 5 days a week. And I think we're going to be surprised to see the number, and I would not be surprised if it was well over 100,000 students that want to remain on distance learning. So as long as they're giving parents and students that choice, they need to give educators that choice too, particularly ones that are fearful of their safety and their health or their loved ones because they're more prone to be susceptible to contract the virus. So those two issues, a robust and mandatory safety program and the opportunity for educators to have the choice to continue distance learning or to be in the in-class for instruction under the hybrid model.
John, just a final question. I need about a 30-second answer. Can they do this unilaterally, or can they do this in conjunction with the parents but leave the teachers out of it? And can they just implement this, or does this require negotiation?
Well, there's areas that I just spoke to that require negotiations with us. Under the law, they're obligated. We're the bargaining agent, and that's why we are at the table trying to hammer out these issues. There's some areas where, you know, we don't have a right to raise any issues, and they can just do. But some of the key ones that I just spoke to, they have to sit down with us, and they are.
Good for them. Good for them. John, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You're right. This is a very complex issue, and it's not going to get solved with one interview or even one meeting, you know, between the teachers and the district, or teachers and parents in the district. But hopefully we'll get this ironed out soon. We'll get our kids back on track. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
John Vallardita, Executive Director of the Clark County Education Association, joining us. Great to have you with us. We're going to talk about this with you coming up next on AM 670 KMZQ.
Discussing the biggest issues.
It's just fundamentally offensive and frightening. It's just frightening. You say, like, who are we? How did we get to this place?
AM 670 KMZQ.
Fall is a great time to remodel your pool. If your pool plaster and tile is a little tired, call B&D Plastering today for your immediate bid from our experienced estimators. Call B&D Pool Plastering, 702-644-8980.
The Battle License 48944-71642.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Uh-oh.
You have an ugly, embarrassing fungus on your toes and don't know what to do. You've tried topical medications and they simply didn't work. You're fearful of the doctor's knife, painful laser treatments, and don't want any part of sulfur-containing oral drugs. Well, Bye Bye Fungus is your answer for fast, safe, and effective treatment of awful fungal infections. Bye Bye Fungus is based upon advanced technology that utilizes a patented combination of isoamylactate and jojoba oil. No other topical product includes this patented combination of ingredients, which work together to quickly eradicate the fungus. Bye Bye Fungus is as easy to apply as nail polish. And for a limited time, you can receive a 20% discount by calling 1-800-258-3635 and mentioning the Kevin Wall Show. That's 1-800-258-3635. Or visit us at byebyefungus.com and enter the discount code WALL.
During the global pandemic and shutdown, a lot of us have lost track of friends around the country. Hey, Kevin Wall here. You don't trust flying, and a two-day drive to St. Louis isn't all that appealing, but you still want to show some love to the ones you miss so much. That's where my friends at Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn come in. You can send friends and family delicious Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn in one of 18 flavors. And you can even put you or your family's picture on the label with a message that says, "We miss you." If you own a business, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn can put your brand on every bag. It's a great icebreaker for businesses that rely on sales and marketing. I mean, everybody loves popcorn, so use Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn for your next church or school fundraiser. Oh, and did I mention, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn tastes great. Check out their amazing new website at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. That's Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year, with membership starting as early as the following month, and there are no contracts and no commitments. Programs start as low as $349 per month, and there's no network, so you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance, so your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall, or call 855-58-LIBERTY.
Fall is a great time to remodel your pool. If your pool plaster and tile is a little tired, call B&D Plastering today for your immediate bid from our experienced estimators. Call B&D Pool Plastering, 702-644-8980.
The Met License, 489-447-1642.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Don't forget this hour, brought to you by Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24/7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. I was in there last Friday for dinner. I'll bet you I'll be there this Friday for dinner, too. I just absolutely love it. I was encouraged by what I heard John Velardita say, and that is that this is a very complex issue, and I'm not sure that there's ever going to be consensus. There may be four votes for it, for some kind of hybrid plan, but there won't be any consensus. There will be people who will still be questioning. Parents that want to leave their kids in a distance learning. Now, coming up, I'm going to open up our phone lines. And I want to hear from you at 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. For those of you that have kids in the Clark County School District, how do you feel about this? I'm going to be honest with you. And again, this is anecdotal evidence. I haven't done any polling. But you meet people and they're teachers, and they teach high school and they teach middle school, and some teach first and second grade. You know, munchkins. and all of them, even within his group, John Velardita's group, there is not consensus. There are older teachers that fear the, you know, the COVID-19 virus. And kids, they fear the kids might be a spreader. I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't. We'll get to your calls on the